And so I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I don't do this half enough, but when I want to relax, one of the places that I have enjoyed over many years going is Claverhead. Some of you might know Claverhead quite well. It's the other end, basically, of the bay from Bettystown. So Bettystown's one end and Claverhead is at the other end. I'm sure maybe a lot have been there. But one of the things that I enjoy doing is just sitting on the beach or beside the beach, whether it's with people that are there or not, and just listening to the waves coming in and out. There is something incredibly relaxing about water, isn't there? Maybe for you that's somewhere else. Maybe that's down by the shores in Virginia, or maybe that's going somewhere closer at hand to where you live. So I want you to imagine that scene, maybe at a harbour somewhere, and you're watching the boats coming in and out, or whatever. That's the scene that I want you to imagine. And if you can imagine that, that is almost the scene that is playing out from John chapter 21. It's the very end of John's Gospel, the very end of our sermon series that we have dipped in and out of over the last 6.5 months or so. And it's been a rocky journey. There have been great moments of joy, great moments of celebration with Jesus that John records, the wedding in Cana and the first miracle, the healings and the teachings. And yet in the second half of John, we've seen a lot of pain. We've heard about the persecution of Christians and the persecution of Jesus. We've heard about the rows and the scheming and the planning. At Easter time, of course, we reminded ourselves of the betrayal of Jesus, the rejection, the sorrow, the cross, his death. We witnessed the mourning of the disciples and his mother, the resurrection, the disbelief, the doubt, and the joy. So many different moments, so many different emotions wrapped up in so much of John's Gospel. But as we get to the end of John's Gospel, chapter 21, the scene that I described at the beginning of my address is the scene that is set before us on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias. Most likely there are boats dotted around. People are coming and going. A fishing village, I'm sure. And on that scene, there is a boat filled with men, who we find out at the beginning of the chapter are the disciples. Whether they've gone back to do what they know best or whether they are relaxing, we are told, and we would have heard this last week, that their fishing is not bringing much joy. And Jesus says, throw your net in the other side. Their net is filled and they end up realizing that the person on the beach is Jesus. And they enjoy a fresh cooked breakfast with him, a breakfast of fish probably cooked on a beach fire. It's a lovely scene, a lovely moment. And as we picture that in our mind's eye, and as we come to verse 15 to 19, if you want to turn to the Pew Bibles or the weekly sheet, we go from this bigger group setting, this breakfast setting, to a one-on-one conversation that John records for us. We've almost no right to hear this conversation, but it is an important one as we come to the end of John's Gospel. For as the disciples are chatting, as they are enjoying the breakfast, Jesus in verse 15 draws Simon Peter aside. Now I like to imagine them going off and walking down along the shore together. And as they walk, it must have been an awkward conversation or an awkward feeling between the two. If we go back to the night before Jesus dies, Simon Peter or Peter says, I'll never deny you. No, not me. I will be there with you. And yet, an hour or so later in a courtyard around another fire, someone says, aren't you one of his? And Peter 3 times says, no, not me. You must have got the wrong person. I'm sure that hurt Jesus. I'm sure as they walk together in that awkward moment, there's lots of things going through in that unspoken moments between them. How will Jesus deal with Peter? Quite rightly, he could have been angry. Quite rightly, he could have been disappointed with Peter. Peter, you really let me down when I needed you. He could have blanked Peter, actually, completely. He could have made it crystal clear to Peter that he was going to punish him for denying him. All human emotions that we all have when someone hurts us. But that's not what Jesus chooses. As always, Jesus shows another way, a harder way, a less human way. Instead, as we read on in verses 15, 16 and 17, Jesus asks Peter a question three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And three times Peter responds, you know that I do. It's not accidental, I'm sure, that the number is three, mirroring the three denials that Peter has said about Jesus. And I think in this, Jesus is showing something of the heart of God. He is showing a way back for Peter. He is showing unconditional love to Peter. And he is testing to see whether Peter has learnt from his experience. Peter was full of bravado. I'll never deny you. And yet we meet a humble Peter who says, you know that I love you. Peter is brought back into the fold, reconciled with Jesus. And of course, as we read on, we find that the forgiveness that Jesus offers to Peter is not just lip service. It's a very deep and total forgiveness. Because not only does he forgive Peter, not only does he bring him back into the fold, but he says to him, I have a purpose and a task for you. We live in a very rural setting here, obviously. This time of year, we understand the importance of silage and getting the silage in so that when we come to November and December and January and February and so on, the animals will have something to eat. But as Jesus says to Peter three times, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, of course, he's not talking about silage and not talking about animals. Often in the Bible, God's people are referred to as lambs or sheep. He is saying, Peter, I've got a task for you. I want you to bring my message of love and grace. I want you to bring the values of God's kingdom and bring that to people. Feed them spiritually. And then at the end of the passage, and it's almost the last words in John's gospel, Peter hears two words from Jesus, if you're following, verse 19. So they've been through the forgiveness and the reconciliation and the task that Jesus has for Peter. And then he just says two words to him. He just says, follow me. Follow me. So as we learn from this passage, as we learn from all of John's gospel and the richness within its words and pages, what are the lessons that we learn? Well, we learn that for the people of God there is forgiveness. We learn how to deal with those who have hurt us. We learn that forgiving someone is more than just lip service forgiveness. But on a spiritual level, we learn that God unconditionally loves and forgives people who come back to him. That's the first thing. The second thing, as we try to wrap up John's gospel, is that God can use the most unlikely people to do the most extraordinary things. Right through the Bible, God uses people who feel they're not good enough, not educated enough, or have done things in their lives that they are ashamed of. And yet God, like with Jesus and Peter, says, but that is secondary. If you come back and know my love, I have a task for you. So as Jesus forgives Peter and Peter turns his life back to God, he discovers that God can use him. But for me, the big takeaway of this passage, in fact, the big takeaway from John's gospel, and if you take nothing more away from the last 6 months as we've journeyed through God's story in John's gospel, it's how personal God is. That for me is an incredible message in John's gospel. In this passage, in John's entire gospel, we see the desire of God lived out through the person of Jesus, through the words of John. We see the willingness of God to send his Son in human form to live among those that he has created. We see the heart of God to show God, to show us and those who are there how much he loves them again and again and again, how much he loves us. We see the motivation of God to do anything to bring those that he's created back into his fold, even die for them, in the hope that people then and now would come back and love him and worship him and serve him. So for me, this passage, all of John's gospel, it's about an invitation to walk with Jesus, to know Jesus in a one-to-one way, to experience God's grace, to know with assurance God's unconditional love for us, and to respond to God's invitation to walk with him above all else and all others, to walk with him humbly, sincerely and faithfully each day, to love him and to serve him. So as we leave John's gospel, I invite us now today, this week, in a moment in our lives, to reflect on what we've learned over these months and in this passage, and to think about how we respond in our own personal way to God, what he has done for us through the person of Jesus, and the question that he asks Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And to respond to the invitation that he gives to all of us as he says, follow me. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you're personal, that you are someone we can know in our own lives, that you've sent Jesus to die for us, to show your unconditional love for us. And Lord, today, in this moment, as we reflect on this passage and in John's gospel, may something in our hearts and in our minds, in this church, in this group of parishes, in this community, in this land, break within us so that we might know in that deep way, that we might respond to that question, do you love me? With the words, you know that I love you, that we might respond today and every day to that call to follow Jesus, to follow him in all of our lives. And I pray this in the name of the one who is worthy of our praise. Amen.